Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. Take it from the Iron Woman. We only have special guests. And today we go to Bangalore in India. We have the honor to talk to Puneet Surana. If you read his biography, it says strategist, breast cancer activist, one blog a day, one podcast, TEDx speaker, fitness junkie, personal development, reads two books per week. Puneet, maybe introduce yourself. I'm wondering, what don't you do out of this list?
Introducing myself is one of the hardest things I find. I think a part of me interviews the rich and famous, and a part of me supports breast cancer warriors to get back to their normal lives. And a part of me just goofs around with new ideas in tech. And a significant part of me is passionate about startups. And somehow startups is the thread that connects all of them, whether it's the podcast, whether it's the breast cancer activism.
It seems like you're a very passionate person. And when I think about startups, everything is a startup, in my opinion. I read once that you should look at your career like a startup, because when it's a startup, you put the passion into it, you put all the time into it, you put everything into the startup. You work 24/7. So why don't we focus more on ourselves as our startup project?
I can't agree more. My entire undergrad and postgraduate studies, I had a startup running in parallel as a way to learn the first half of the day. Mm-hmm. And rest of the day, 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. is where you experiment and you build something and you try to implement what they teach in college, which didn't happen most of the time. But
And what were you working on when you were working from 6 to 1 o'clock?
Multiple things. Primarily, I was building a clothing company. For 5 years, we built it. We started it with 20 rupees, which is about, I think, 10 cents. The two friends of us. And we built it into a really successful, popular, fun company, which would do these t-shirts and hoodies for college students, for celebrities, for cricket teams. Yeah, we did that a lot. We made a lot of money. And we burnt a lot of money. But I think we built a lot of other businesses, tried to build a lot of other businesses, failed multiple times. I think 9 times. Even this startup, the clothing startup, we failed like 9 times, Suzanne, before we made 1 rupee profit. Yeah.
What is the failures? I mean, they always say you learn from failures, fail many times. What have you learned that you can inspire others? And what can we learn from you?
We had like 9 failures in this venture doing which we ran during college. I don't know, every time it was a different reason that we failed. But you know, the interesting thing, Zan, for the first three years, we didn't have a website. We didn't have a visiting card. We didn't even have an office. We would have to get orders completely based upon the trust we built with students or with other CXOs, usually the owners of small kirana stores or small restaurants. It was 100% based on selling by ourselves, just as a personality. Mm-hmm. And so we had to build our personality. It took us 3 years to come to a point where we were confident enough to get an order without any of these things. And people wouldn't even believe us, like, huh, you don't have a website, you don't have an office. And I would constantly tell them my phone is my office. And our Facebook page is our calling card. We use that. And after 3 years, we won a national award in India. And I think after that, people started giving us orders more easily. But the first 3 years, It was just convincing them based on personality, based on stupid confidence, maybe.
Stupid confidence. That sounds like a very scientific word. Stupid confidence. But sometimes it's also the naivete in a way that you have an idea, you have a vision, and you're a strong believer, and this can help you. So it's kind of like the rookies. You don't know what success can look like, but you are successful. And who says that you need to have a website and an office, especially in today's time? You can do everything from your kitchen table, from your bedroom. Yeah. I'm wondering, since you were talking about hoodies and t-shirts, where were you manufacturing them? In your house?
Interestingly, we weren't manufacturing them at all. We were sourcing them from a few factories that we had filtered out. We were printing it from a few printers that we had familiarized and that were located around the college. We could easily go in and out between breaks. That's how we could start it with just $20. And the model was so simple. Take 60% advance from the customer, convince them, take a 15-day time period. Now you have the money, you have the time. The designing was pretty simple because I knew how to do Photoshop and Canva, and Google was helpful. And that's it. Take the 60% advance to buy the t-shirts or hoodies, give it to the printer, and tell the printer, usually it would cover the printer cost as well, but tell the printer anyways that you'll pay him once it's done. That's how it worked. We delivered and we would make 40% or 30%. Yeah, I had another co-founder who would do a lot of running work and I would do the sales work. So we had pretty much divided it. And whatever money we would make, we would go on really beautiful dates. No guilt of taking dad's money.
I think this is very cool. Also, this goes to show that you don't need to have like a facility, a factory, an office. I think you're the disruptor and showing us how things can get done.
Yeah.
But I'm still wondering, when you said like failures, is it human element or was it processes? Because I'm an executive coach. I always focus on the what is the leadership. And I interviewed on my 100th episode, the Glitter Glam Girls. It's about leadership. It's about teamwork. And it's about communication. I'm wondering, can you speak to that?
I think the 10th time it failed because of processes. And that's where we paused it. We're like, you know what? We know how to make money, but we don't know how to build processes and systems. But 9 times before that, it was a mix. At times, we would have a team of youngsters who would just abandon. At times, we would run out of money. At times, we would just fall apart as a team. It's sort of silly to... but thinking about it, now I realize these are all pretty much the reasons most times we fail. Processes comes really later on. Yeah. At least for a startup, you're just figuring out what's working and what's not working. And so for 4.5 years, we're just figuring out what's working. Where's the money? Where are people? Where are the sales happening really easily? What's working? What's not working? And our processes were pretty much my co-founder and I. We were the systems in place. All our vendors, printers were around our college. So our process was literally around our college. Our college was our office. Our literal meeting point was a canteen in the college. We had a massive 53-acre campus. And there was a canteen in the middle of it. And we would be there from 3:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. every day, interacting with thousands of students. And that became our sort of an office. We didn't really have processes nailed down. And I think that's why we failed the 10th time. It was heartbreaking because we couldn't scale it. And that's why I took up an MBA thinking it would help. And that led to a whole different direction. And
you think an MBA is helping? It's just more work, more reading in a way. When people ask me, should I go for a master's degree? I always say it's a college degree with much more information to digest in a shorter amount of time. Is that a fair assumption?
I don't know. I'm probably the worst MBA case study in my entire college history. Yeah. There hasn't been a more specimen case. Primarily because my MBA is like, you know what? Let's go all guns blasting on things that I wanted to do. I was hardly in class. My second semester attendance was 0%. My second year attendance was probably 3%. I was not in college, in the classroom, but I was in college, always building and tinkering around things, or in the library, spending a lot of my free time. I was still in the college, but not in the classroom. This entire second semester, I was building a fest, which made a good profit on for the college. We were dumb students who actually sponsored our own fest and were lucky to make money on it. And the entire second year was just touring across the country, literally touring across the country with the college money. I mean, nobody had done it before, but we found a loophole where the MBA program was just picking up. And we were like, we'll become the brand ambassadors. We'll go across the country representing our college. And our college didn't mind funding the travel, the stay. So we went to about 45 plus colleges in our entire second year. And my entire shelf is filled with trophies. I would get trophy every week to the college and a letter for the check for the next event. That was my second year. We raised funds for the breast cancer cause through it. So that was a very, in India, we call it jugaad, sort of a hustling way of raising funds for something. Yeah. So we built the college brand. I built a massive community of students, networks of students across the country. And we raised funds by winning the competitions. I'm like the extreme case of how not to do an MBA or how to do an MBA, but
you're the total non-traditional student, non-traditional businessman, non-traditional. You're the disruptor that everybody is looking at. I know you've done a TEDx talk, you're writing a blog. What is your calling? It seems like there's something that is fascinating.
My calling was, the professors won't teach me how to be rich. I need to find somebody else or some other way. I remember this one incident in my undergrad studies where the professor and I were debating about the relevance of college. And he said something that just struck me. He was a musician who was forced to do a class on holistic education, which is just a way of making sure students are on track. And we were debating back and forth the relevance of education. And he said something fascinating. He quoted Pink Floyd's song, which said that, if you want to get laid, come to college. If you want to get education, go to the library. And that was like the final nail in the coffin. I don't know what makes sense. Because in India, we were still studying stuff that is codified in America. The way Indians behave and live is a whole different stratosphere from how Americans live and behave and do business. It just wouldn't relate. So that disconnect was immediate, and I committed myself to the library. I would spend hours in the library. When I was not at the canteen, I was at the library until they kicked me out at 9:30, 10. So that's how I built my education, through my undergrad and postgrad studies.
And now you're saying you're reading 2 books per week. And what kind of books are you reading?
Oh, I read all sorts of books, Suzanne. And it's fascinating. It's crazy. Listeners, you could find business ideas from a book like 50 Shades of Grey or Kama Sutra. And you can find hope and inspiration from some of the most sober and morose and theoretical textbooks. I read across the spectrum. And I have an interesting process of reading wherein I don't read most books. I don't read from cover to cover. I go in like I'm entering a restaurant. I go in with what am I looking for from this book? And I pick that thing from the book and I pause the book because I can always come back to it. I take what's relevant for me right now in my life. It's usually a question. It's usually something that catches my attention about the book. And so I have a simple process laid down. Be open to all sorts of books. Once the book is with me, before I even buy the book, I go through the Amazon.com reviews and understand what's the book about. Once the book is with me, I go through the index. I go through the annexure in the back. I go through the introduction. That's all I read. And then I figure out what do I want from this book. I just go and get that thing and I'm out. And I do that again and again and again. And there's so many times I've read books multiple times and I've gone to different parts of the books and somehow integrates in a beautiful way without causing that pressure of, oh God, I have that book to complete, 200 more pages left. How am I going to add new books? None of that. I treat it as a restaurant. Go in, quench your hunger and your thirst and come back.
I have a recommendation. Take it from the Iron Woman and Lipstick Leadership. So you might get something out of those two books that I've written in the past.
I feel there are very, very few books that are worth a cover to cover.
Thank you so much, Puneet. This was exciting to learn. Why don't we all think like a startup when we think of our lives? Startups take up a lot of time. Life takes up a lot of time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes every Monday, every Wednesday. There's something for everybody, from sports people to entrepreneurs, something that entices you. And Take It From The Iron Woman is also a book. It's about global business coaching with sports parallels.